You know that any relationship is always a two-way street, that you can't be in a relationship all by yourself. That's just not the way that it works. So there's a sense in which our baptism is completed when we say yes to God and when we become a part of that relationship in return. And so I remind you of what we just did, that in the sacrament of baptism, we're incorporated into Christ's holy church, into God's mighty acts of salvation, and given new birth through water and the Spirit. And then through confirmation and through the reaffirmation of our faith, we renew the covenant that was declared at our baptism and acknowledge what God is doing for us. We affirm our commitment to Christ's holy church. We have some folks that we've been talking this through for months now who are ready to make that affirmation. And so I'd like to give them that opportunity and introduce them to you. Ian, are you ready? And Ian's mentor has been Mike Engel, who's going to say a word of introduction.
Good morning. I am Mike Engel, and it's my pleasure. Turn and face the crowd. Love and see you. Yeah, there we go. To introduce to you Mr. Ian Ackenhausen. Ian is currently an eighth grader at Xenia Christian. Looking forward to being a freshman. We were just talking about it a few moments ago. Not so sure about that, but I understand. Ian enjoys running. As you can tell, he's quite fit. He's a cross-country and track runner, and he told me just today that they won their conference meet yesterday and that he won the mile. So congratulations, Ooh. Ian. More importantly, though, for our church life and for this process that we're going through, I've had the pleasure of being with Ian now for the last, as Pastor Brad said, several months. Ian is a quiet but very deep-thinking young man. I greatly appreciate that. The things that I've heard from him tell me that he is with God, he is in touch with God, he understands, and he is ready to be confirmed. And I'm so pleased to be here with him at this time. And if you'll bear with me for just one moment, I have a special scripture for him that my wife found for us. It's from 1 Corinthians chapter 9, verses 24 to 27. And this is the translation from the Message. And it reads, "You've all been to the stadium and seen the athletes race. Everyone runs, one wins. Run to win. All good athletes train hard. They do it for a gold medal that tarnishes and fades. But now is the important part. You're after one that's gold eternally." And this is Ian's first step towards that.
All right, Ian, you've heard the questions, so now I'm ready to ask them to you. On behalf of the whole church, I ask you first, do you renounce the spiritual forces of wickedness, reject the evil powers of this world, and repent of your sin? Next, do you accept the freedom and power that God gives you to resist evil, injustice, and oppression in whatever forms they may present themselves? Do you confess Jesus Christ as your Savior, put your whole trust in His grace, and promise to serve Him as your Lord in union with the church, which Christ has opened to people of all ages, nations, and races? According to the grace given you, will you remain a faithful member of Christ's holy church and serve as Christ's representative in the world? All right, last one. As a member of this congregation, will you faithfully participate in its ministries by your prayers, your presence, your gifts, your service, and your witness? Perfect. All right, now I'd like to invite Ian's mentor and family, anybody that is here in particular support of Ian. And if you will have a kneel at the rail. Let's put a hand on Ian. Ian, I thank you for your thoughtful, disciplined, and insightful spirit. I pray that you will run with perseverance the race that is set before you, looking to Jesus, the pioneer and perfecter of your faith. May the Holy Spirit work within you that being born through water and the Spirit, you may be a faithful disciple of Jesus Christ, in whose name we pray. Amen. We have a certificate and a Bible. And I think it's a devotional thing that we'd like to offer you. Welcome. All right, Megan, are you ready? And Megan's mentor has been Carol Jenkins.
I've had the privilege of having Megan. I've had the privilege of having Megan as my confirmant. And she has the most beautiful, sweet smile, and that's just the way her personality is. She's quiet and she's helpful in any way she can be. She is also, she's Ian's twin sister. She's also a student at Xenia Christian, and where she runs track and cross country. Thank you. And she's also a very accomplished Celtic dancer.
Hmm.
And early on in our talks, Megan has a Bible verse that helps her, which is from Proverbs 3. Trust in the Lord with all your heart, and do not rely on your insight. In all your ways acknowledge him, and he will make straight your paths.
All right, Megan, are you ready? On behalf of the whole church, I ask you first, do you renounce the spiritual forces of wickedness, reject the evil powers of this world, and repent of your sin?
I do.
Do you accept the freedom and power that God gives you to resist evil, injustice, and oppression in whatever forms they may present themselves?
I
do. Do you confess Jesus Christ as your Savior, put your whole trust in His grace, and promise to serve Him as your Lord in union with the church, which Christ has opened to people of all ages, nations, and races? All right, next, according to the grace given you, will you remain a faithful member of Christ's holy church and serve as Christ's representative in the world? Last one. As a member of this congregation, will you faithfully participate in its ministries by your prayers, your presence, your gifts, your service, and your witness? Perfect. All right, I'd like to ask anybody who is here in special support of Megan if you'll gather together here so we can lay on hands and have a word of prayer for her. Megan, I thank you for your dedicated, composed, and creative spirit. I pray that the Lord will help you to love Him with your whole heart and strength and soul and mind. I pray that the Holy Spirit will work within you, that being born through water and the Spirit, you may be a faithful disciple of Jesus Christ, in whose name we pray. Amen. All right, Jacob, are you ready? And Jacob's mentor has been Scott. Sorry, I should hand Scott the microphone, shouldn't I?
Jacob has grown since I've met him.
In a lot of ways.
That's the beginning of our relationship. He's a wonderful young man and has given me some new insight into life. So that's why I always have crib sheets. Eighth grader at Warner, enjoys the trumpet, playing it for at least 3 years, right? And he's still playing it.
I did, but I let it slide.
I know.
Yeah.
And he is a life scout, anticipating his Eagle project. And I know all of the effort that that takes just for him and for the family. What I found most intriguing, and before he reminded me again this morning, he is an Xbox gamer, right? Yes, and I hope I say this right. He's almost a professional at this level. It seems that there's in the Xbox world, this is an ad, that you can indeed join a team and get either points, but potentially money, but never money, real cash. Right? So he's actually a semi-professional. As soon as we figure out the rest, he'll be rich. Right? He likes technology. He has shown my, Skywatch Google. Anybody that likes stars, pull it up. Put your phone up into the air and it will show you the stars, whether it's day or night. When I did it, we saw the Skylab go zipping by. How is a wonderful word form? Serious until you get to electronics, and then he just cuts loose on you. Right? Right. This is Jacob.
Thanks, God. All right, Jacob, I've got some questions for you. Are you ready? On behalf of the whole church, I ask you first, do you renounce the spiritual forces of wickedness, reject the evil powers of this world, and repent of your sin?
I do.
Next, do you accept the freedom and power that God gives you to resist evil, injustice, and oppression in whatever forms they may present themselves?
I do.
Do you confess Jesus Christ as your Savior, put your whole trust in His grace, and promise to serve Him as your Lord in union with the church which Christ has opened to people of all ages, nations, and races? According to the grace given you, will you remain a faithful member of Christ's holy church and serve as Christ's representative in the world?
I do.
Last one. As a member of this congregation, will you faithfully participate in its ministries by your prayers, your presence, your gifts, your service, and your witness? Excellent. I'd like to ask you to kneel. And would like to invite anybody who is specially here in support of Jacob to join with me up front. Jacob, I thank you for your kind, sincere, and playful spirit. I pray that you will live in such a way that you will hear one day the words, "Well done, good and faithful servant." May the Holy Spirit work within you that being born through water and the Spirit, you may be a faithful disciple of Jesus Christ, in whose name we pray. Amen. All right, Jonathan, are you ready? And Jonathan's mentor has been Steve Brodsky.
Thank you. It is my sincere pleasure to present Jonathan Patterson. It has been so great to get to know him over the last few months. Jonathan is also a student at Warner, plays in the marching band, loves all sports, is an excellent counterbalance to Pastor Rick in that he is a big-time Michigan fan. There's been some real interesting conversations.
I'm staying out of that one.
But more importantly, Jonathan is a very insightful, very inquisitive young man who has a sincere desire to get to know Jesus and has a servant's heart. And it has really been my pleasure to get to know Jonathan, and I look forward to continuing our relationship as he continues in his faith journey.
All right, Jonathan, we've talked about these. Are you ready? On behalf of the whole church, I ask you now, do you renounce the spiritual forces of wickedness, reject the evil powers of this world, and repent of your sin?
I do.
Do you accept the freedom and power that God gives you to resist evil, injustice, and oppression in whatever forms they may present themselves? Do you confess Jesus Christ as your Savior, put your whole trust in His grace, and promise to serve Him as your Lord in union with the church which Christ has opened to people of all ages, nations, and races? According to the grace given you, will you remain a faithful member of Christ's holy church and serve as Christ's representative in the world? All right, and as a member of this congregation, will you faithfully participate in its ministries by your prayers, your presence, your gifts, your service, and your witness? Excellent. All right, I'd invite you to kneel. And I'd invite anybody who is here in particular support of Jonathan to join with me. Jonathan, I thank you for your insightful, inquisitive, and energetic spirit. I pray that you will seek and find, that you will ask and it will be given, that you will knock and the door will be opened. May the Holy Spirit come upon you that being born through water and the Spirit, you may be a faithful disciple of Jesus Christ, in whose name we pray. Amen.
Amen.
Yeah, round of applause is appropriate. Nathan, you ready? And Nathan's mentor has been Ben Thompson. Ben, I never know whether to call you Ben or Fielding.
Yes.
Yes, either one will do. Just don't call me late for dinner.
Yes. Thank you. Good morning once again, friends. It's an honor and privilege to introduce to you Nate Sainer. One of the things that impresses you right off the get-go is he's a very mature young man. Mm-hmm. In fact, he's almost taller than I am. I guess that's maturity.
It's not hard for me.
One of the neat things about them, he gained a great deal in perspective and faith as a result of a back injury that kept him out of his favorite sport for over a year, basketball. I appreciate the depth he has brought to the confirmation process. He has one of the things he did, we do a statement of faith as part of the process. He was there before it was even required. That's great. He is thoughtful, a good student, and most of all, he has depth.
Thanks, Ben. You got these memorized yet? All right, Nate. On behalf of the whole church, I ask you first, do you renounce the spiritual forces of wickedness, reject the evil powers of this world, and repent of your sin? Next, do you accept the freedom and power that God gives you to resist evil, injustice, and oppression in whatever forms they may present themselves? Do you confess Jesus Christ as your Savior, put your whole trust in His grace, and promise to serve Him as your Lord in union with the church which Christ has opened to people of all ages, nations, and races? According to the grace given you, will you remain a faithful member of Christ's holy church and serve as Christ's representative in the world? And as a member of this congregation, will you faithfully participate in its ministries by your prayers, your presence, your gifts, your service, and your witness? Excellent. I'd invite you to kneel and invite anybody who is here in special support of Nathan to join with me. Nathan James Sainer, I thank you for your thoughtful, disciplined, and focused spirit. King Solomon was given the opportunity to pray for anything and told that it would be granted, and he prayed for wisdom. I pray that you may have that same spirit of wisdom that you may lead. I pray that the Holy Spirit will come upon you, that being born through water and the Spirit, you may be a faithful disciple of Jesus Christ, in whose name we pray. Amen. All right, Zachary, Reese. I didn't even know your first name was Zachary. And Reese's mentor has been Tim Holly.
It's been my distinct honor and privilege to be the mentor for Reese for the last few months. I've known him almost all of his life, him and his family, but I have a confession to make. I didn't know until this morning that his name was Zachary. And I am so glad to know that, Zachary. Like most of us, Reese has a little problem articulating his faith, but he has no problem living it. And I think that is even more important than being able to speak it. I've found that Reese has been a member or has attended this church all of his life, and he has a deep love not only for his family but also for his church. And it's been really great to get to know him in the way that I have. And I look forward to continuing that relationship, even though his loyalty is misplaced. And I have been unable to convert him to become a fan of the Kentucky Wildcats. Everybody has a flaw. God bless you.
All right, Reese, on behalf of the whole church, I've got some questions for you. First, do you renounce the spiritual forces of wickedness, reject the evil powers of this world, and repent of your sin?
I do.
All right, next. Do you accept the freedom and power that God gives you to resist evil, injustice, and oppression in whatever forms they may present themselves?
I do.
Do you confess Jesus Christ as your Savior, put your whole trust in His grace, and promise to serve Him as your Lord in union with the church which Christ has opened to people of all ages, nations, and races?
I do.
According to the grace given you, will you remain a faithful member of Christ's holy church and serve as Christ's representative in the world?
I will.
And as a member of this congregation, I probably should ask you, will you continue to support its ministries by your prayers, your presence, your gifts, your service, and your witness?
I will.
Excellent. I'd invite you to kneel and invite anybody who is here in particular support of Reese. Zachary, Reese, Skaggs, I thank you for your easygoing, hopeful, and helpful spirit. May you be a light that shines in the darkness. And may the Holy Spirit come upon you that being born through water and the Spirit, you may be a faithful disciple of Jesus Christ, in whose name we pray. Amen. All right, Wes, are you ready? And Wes's mentor has been John Shearer.
Well, it's been a privilege and an honor for me to serve as a mentor for Wesley. We've gotten to know each other a lot better. I feel like I've known him since he was just a little one, and I can remember when he came up for children's sermons, and he always had something to say or a question to ask.
Yep.
But Wesley...
And usually smarter than anything I had to say.
So anyhow, Wesley goes to Cedarville School, and he is in the eighth grade. He loves music. He tells me he sings in a choir, and he also does drama. He was in a recent production, and he hopes to be in many more. He also is in 4-H. He has, for his project this year, 2 market lambs. And, of course, I was a farm boy with lambs and sheep, so we hit it off on that score as well. Wesley has grown about 2 inches, I think, in the time that we've been together in the last 2 months. But he has certainly grown in his faith, and it's certainly been a joy to watch him in his growth. He also likes sports. He's in track and also likes football. So he's very active. He tells me he likes science and he sees himself as a leader. And I'm sure he's a leader in a testimony of his faith to those who he's around. So it's my pleasure to present Wesley.
All right, Wes, on behalf of the whole church, I'd like to ask you, do you renounce the spiritual forces of wickedness, reject the evil powers of this world, and repent of your sin?
I do.
Do you accept the freedom and power that God gives you to resist evil, injustice, and oppression in whatever forms they may present themselves?
I do.
Do you confess Jesus Christ as your Savior, put your whole trust in His grace, and promise to serve Him as your Lord in union with the church, which Christ has opened to people of all ages, nations, and races?
I do.
According to the grace given you, will you remain a faithful member of Christ's holy church and serve as Christ's representative in the world?
I will.
And as a member of this congregation, will you faithfully participate in its ministries by your prayers, your presence, your gifts, your service, and your witness?
I will.
Excellent. You even got the grammar on that right. I'd invite you to kneel and invite anybody who is here in particular support of Wes to join with me. He just got his ear bent, for those of you who didn't see that. Wesley Robert Wickline, I thank you for your balanced, generous, and sincere spirit. I pray that you will be helped to do justice, love kindness, and walk humbly with the Lord. May the Holy Spirit come upon you, that being born through water and the Spirit, you may be a faithful disciple of Jesus Christ, in whose name we pray. Amen.
Amen.
Welcome. All right, now let's try this technology thing again. Can we get that up there, or are we? There we go. All right, if you will welcome these good folks into the congregation of this church and into the Church Universal with you, will you join with me in our welcome? We give thanks for all that God has already given you, and we welcome you in Christian love. As members together with you in the body of Christ and this congregation of the United Methodist Church, we renew our covenant faithfully to participate in its ministries by our prayers, our presence, our gifts, our service, and our witness, that in everything God may be glorified through Jesus Christ. Amen. All right, I know that you wanted to share together in some thoughts about the Christian... Sorry, did I miss something? Yeah, exactly. Are you going to do the scripture reading? Perfect.
Just how we planned it.
Okay.
I'm Pastor Rick, and I'm up high. I want to thank, on behalf of Pastor Brad, Susan, and myself, thank you for allowing us to be on the confirmation journey with you. It's been a joy. It's been an honor. I appreciate all of the good times that we've had and getting to know you so much better. So can we have one more round of applause for that? I'm reading from the New Living Translation. It's a little bit different than what you'll see up on the screens. There are parts of it that I like, that's why I chose this version. We begin. Again, the kingdom of heaven can be illustrated by the story of a man going on a trip. He called together his servants and gave them money to invest for him while he was gone. He gave 5 bags of gold to one, 2 bags of gold to another, and 1 bag of gold to the last, dividing it in proportion to their abilities, and then left on his trip. The servant who received the 5 bags of gold began immediately to invest the money and soon doubled it. The servant with 2 bags of gold also went right to work and doubled the money. But the servant who received the 1 bag of gold dug a hole in the ground and hid the master's money for safekeeping. After a long time, their master returned from his trip and called them to give an account of how they had used the money. The servant to whom he had entrusted the 5 bags of gold said, "Sir, you gave me 5 bags of gold to invest, and I have doubled the amount." The master was full of praise. "Well done, my good and faithful servant. You have been faithful in handling this small amount, so now I will give you many more responsibilities. Let's celebrate together." Next came the servant who had received the 2 bags of gold with the report, "Sir, you gave me 2 bags of gold to invest, and I have doubled the amount." The master said, "Well done, my good and faithful servant. You have been faithful in handling this small amount, so now I will give you many more responsibilities. Let's celebrate together." Then the servant with the 1 bag of gold came and said, "Sir, I know you are a hard man, harvesting crops you didn't plant and gathering crops you didn't cultivate. I was afraid I would lose your money, so I hid it in the earth, and here it is. But the master replied, "You wicked and lazy servant, you think I'm a hard man, do you, harvesting crops I didn't plant and gathering crops I didn't cultivate? Well, you should at least have put my money into the bank so I could have some interest. Take the money from the servant and give it to the one with the 10 bags of gold. To those who use well what they are given, even more will be given, but they will have an abundance. But from those who are unfaithful, even what little they have will be taken away. Now throw this useless servant into outer darkness, where there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth." This ends the reading.
I know that we're running close to the noon hour, but if you'll indulge me, we'll shoot to be out of here about quarter after. Is that a fair plan? Because I put some work into some thoughts, and I'd really like to have the opportunity to share them. So, and then we'll do an offering, and we'll be set. One of the things that some of you may know about me is that in my free time as a hobby, I kind of like to collect coins. Generally, all kinds of different coins. And one of the problems I've got is with foreign coins, Dawn and I will like go visit somewhere and I come back and I've got some extra change that I don't quite know what to do with. So I've started just kind of dropping it in, Micah calls this Grampy's treasure chest. There are coins in here from, my father visited India, so there are coins in here from India. There are coins from the Holy Land when we went to the Holy Land. Coins from the Philippines, not quite sure where those came from. Coins from Nicaragua, of course. He likes to play, I'm not sure quite what the fascination is, but he likes to play in Gampy's treasure chest, which was just fine until about 2 weeks ago when we started packing everything up and packed up the treasure chest. So about last weekend, he went looking for the treasure chest and couldn't find it anywhere. So he comes to me all dejected, kind of like the kid in the next slide. Can we do that? Trying to figure out where the treasure chest has gotten hidden. It says, "Gampy, somebody hid the treasure chest." And so I, trying to be helpful, said, "Somebody should go help you find it." And just sat there. He looks at me and says, "Gampy, aren't you somebody?" That's a pretty good question, isn't it? Aren't you somebody? Aren't I somebody? Aren't you somebody? Would you turn to the person next to you and tell them you are somebody? So why is that important? There are a whole lot of people who will tell you that you're not somebody, aren't there? There are people who will tell you you're too old to be somebody, or people who will tell you you're too young to be somebody, tell you that you don't have the skills to be somebody, that you don't have the talents to be somebody, that you don't live in the right zip code to be somebody. And so I'd like to appeal to you, if you ever find yourself saying somebody ought to do something, hear this voice in your head saying, "Who is somebody? I am somebody," right? Confirmands, I tried to find a challenge that I could give to you on this Confirmation Sunday. And here is my challenge to you. Change your world. For just a minute, I'd like to talk just to the confirmands, and the rest of you can stop listening for a minute. Because on behalf of adults everywhere, what I really want to do is say, I'm sorry. I'm sorry for the world that we have created and the condition that we're leaving it in for you. Because there's a lot of things that we could have and should have done better. We thought too much of ourselves and not enough of the world that we're living for you guys, leaving for you guys. And there have been times where I think we've even gone so far as to make you feel like you can't do anything about it. And so my challenge to you is change your world. Notice I didn't say change the world. I said change your world. There are some things that I know none of us is going to be able to do anything about. Like, for example, the genocide that's going on in Syria. Most of us aren't going to be able to solve that problem. There is a giant fire burning out in Canada. Most of us aren't going to do anything to put that out. But what can we do something about? We can change our world, right? Our little corner of it. I had the parable of the talents to share on this particular Pentecost Sunday, because it seems to me as though that's a good story about how the Holy Spirit works when the Holy Spirit descends. And I'll be honest with you, often when I think of that parable of the talents, I feel like the one who is the one talent person. You know the parable? Master goes out and leaves, gives all of his property to his servants. To one he gives 5 talents, to another he gives 2 talents, and to another he gives 1 talent. How much of what he had did he entrust to his servants? Do you remember that part of the story? All of it, right? He trusted all of what he had to his servants. What's that mean? How much of what we have is God's? Some of it? All of it, right? How much of our money is God's? Not just 10%, all of it. Does that mean that our families are ours? Our kids, our parents, do they belong to us? Who do they belong to? God. All of it. How about our talents? Do they belong to us? To God, right? Our feelings, our thoughts, our emotions, they all belong to who? To God, exactly. There's a story about how in the beginning we were created in a garden. Adam and Eve were placed in the garden, and I love this phrase, they were given dominion over everything that was created, over the fish of the sea and over the birds of the air. They had kids. The first 2 of the kids, sorry, Bree, we'll see you back soon. Adam and Eve have 2 kids, and you remember what their names were? Cain and Abel. Things didn't go well so well for Cain and Abel, did they? Cain ended up killing Abel. And then Cain knew that he had done something wrong, and so he went and he hid. When God found Cain, he asked him the question, "Where is your brother?" And Cain comes back with a really good question that we all ought to ponder. He asks, "Am I my brother's keeper?" What do you think the right answer to that question is? Yes. We even have some responsibility to the people around us, don't we? Some responsibility to care for them as well. We are each other's helper or keeper. Our responsibility is to use the talents that we have, not only for our own good, but also to help the people around us, to invest them in the good of the kingdom, so that when we get to meet the Master face to face again, we will hear the words, "Well done, good and faithful servant." One of the prayers that I've made my own that I try to start each day with is a prayer that I first heard by a guy named John Piper, whose prayer goes like this: "Lord, help me to do something that is utterly disproportionate to who I am." I like that, don't you? Lord, help me to do something that is utterly disproportionate to who I am. I believe that we know that it's the Spirit working when we feel our heart burning within us. What makes your heart burn within you? About 1.5 or 2 years ago, I went to a workshop that was the Large Church Initiative down in the Atlanta area and got the opportunity to hear a guy named Mark Batterson speak. This guy is really sharp. If you ever get the chance to hear Mark Batterson, take it. He decided he wanted to change the country, and in order to do it, he decided he had to get to the very heart of the country, and so he picked out where he believes the heart of the country is, and you know where he went? Washington, D.C. Figured if you can change Washington, you can change the whole country. He's getting known for challenging people to do something he's calling circling prayer. He says, take a list of things that you're praying for, and then circle the things that are really important to you. That's likely to be what makes your heart burn within you and where the Holy Spirit is guiding you to do something. He is literally circling Capitol Hill. He's established a church there that last I heard was averaging about 4,000 in attendance and praying for the work that goes on in Washington. He likes to tell the story about a guy named Gypsy Smith. Gypsy Smith was an evangelist back. He was born in 1860. Gypsy Smith, obviously since his name is Gypsy, he grew up as a gypsy, was born in a poor part of London in England, didn't have very much, didn't have any education, but by the end of his life he will have lectured at Harvard. He didn't come from much of a background, and yet his family never traveled more than about 5 miles from where he grew up, and yet he crossed the ocean no less than 45 times. Didn't come from much influence, and yet was a consultant by the end of his life to at least two presidents. He preached the gospel. He wanted people to know that they were loved by God and that Jesus died for their sins. He was asked by a couple people once what the key to his effectiveness was, why he was so passionate about what he did. And he said, it's my prayer life. He says, it's got to start in private prayer. This group of people then asked, and so if we want to try to have the impact that you're having on the world, how do we do that? And this was his advice. I think it's great advice. He said, if you want to make an impact on other people, here's what you do. You find a piece of chalk, go to your room, and lock the door. Then take the chalk and draw a circle in the middle of the room. And put yourself in the middle of that circle. And then pray fervently and brokenly that God will send a revival in the middle of that circle. Isn't that good? In other words, change begins where? With me. How's that work and how's that affect the rest of the world? Well, we're not all individual people. We also are part of families. And so if we change ourselves, deepen our relationship with the Lord, then we go home to our families and we make our families a better place. Our families are not all alone by themselves either. Our families are a part of a community. We call our community Xenia. And so if you've made yourself a better person, you make your family a better family, what are you going to do to the community? You make the community a better place. Communities aren't all alone by themselves either, are they? Xenia is a part of a state that we call Ohio. And so if we make ourselves better people to be a part of our families, then our families will be better, the state will be better. But states aren't all alone either, are they? Our state is in a country that we call the United States of America. And so if we make ourselves better, then we make our families better, then we make our communities better, we make our state better, we make our country better. And you can see where this is going, right? The United States of America is not the only country in the world, is it? And so we improve, we make ourselves better, we make our families better, we improve our community, we improve our state, we improve our nation, and we improve the world. The Holy Spirit is moving. Change your world so that we can change the world. God has given us, entrusted us with talents. It may be only one, but God has given each of us something so that we can invest those for the work of the kingdom by helping others, so that when all is said and done, we will be able to hear the words, "Well done, good and faithful servant."